Welcome back for part two of the Supersized Boiled Sports Handsome Hour. Clearly you love Purdue and can't get enough Purdue sports talk. Either that or you're procrastinating doing something else. Either way, thanks for listening. And now for the exciting conclusion of the Handsome Hour. Let's get rolling. I was just thinking, you know, when I put a theory out there and Anisha's like, I don't buy that. I'm just going to go ahead and say that I don't buy your, you know, that Purdue's a terrible job because we're talking about the same Purdue that's won more Big Ten titles than anybody.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
That Purdue? Okay. Yeah. Purdue was, you know, top five in the country not very long ago. Yeah. And all I'm making a point of saying is I know it's hard, but it's big leagues. I mean, it's the best conference in college basketball. So it's absolutely going to be difficult for anybody. It's difficult for Michigan State. It's difficult for Michigan. Right. Think about how long Michigan was in Michigan State's shadow.
Well, are you hitting on profundity there, Jay? Because you said it's hard, it's difficult. Okay, there's no doubt about that. And is there an issue here? This is us trying to pick apart something we're not going to know until the end. Okay, but or until things change, and then maybe Painter talks. I don't think he has it in him to do this. But
we'll probably have him on the podcast.
Oh yeah, he'll be on soon.
He's a big listener of the Handsome Hour.
But the is he not as motivated, because it takes looking at all the little things and getting that stuff done because of the changes to maybe just like, man, this sucks now. This is tough, Is that possible that it's just a motivation?
Of course it's possible. I sometimes I write things to put theories out there and just to entertain, not entertain, but to make people think about something in a different way. But I do think we've always pointed my column about the apex and about reaching a mountaintop or almost reaching a mountaintop and then seeing it all just crumble before your eyes and how much of a gut punch that is. Right. Now, I was just talking to someone about this today. Look at the way Auburn lost the national title game. That was pretty painful, yeah. Right? They go up with a minute and a half to go and they lose anyway. That's kind of crushing. But given where their program has been and given how strong they still are and their coaching staff, that's not the bottom falling out. That's, oh, shit, we were that close to winning a title that we probably shouldn't. We didn't really deserve this year, but we almost got it. Okay? They'll be back next year, and that will not have an ill effect on them. But the Wisconsin game, the Orton fumble, that was the end. Everything collapsed. Tiller was never the same, and that's not hyperbole. Yeah. It was he had worked – he finally had a season where it was all in place, and that was it. Boom. He was tired. It was old. He was old, so it was very easy to see that happen. Yeah. I don't think it's far-fetched to think that it has felt very difficult for Painter ever since Rob Hummel got injured. And I don't mean to put everything on the Hummel injury, but you think about – I know we all know exactly where that team was, but when you just go back and look at – I was just doing this like 2 weeks ago because I like to torment myself. Mm-hmm. I was looking at the game by game. That was in the middle. You realize that game was the 10th consecutive win, right? Yeah. 10th consecutive win.
Those guys were my – high school class.
Steamrollers.
Those guys are my high school class, and so that should have been my title. That was my, in Indianapolis. It could have been against Butler, which is where I grew up. And it's like, oh my God,
But look at the way they were doing the things that no Purdue team has done. Just like that Orton football team was doing things Purdue football had never done. On the road at Notre Dame, on the road at Penn State, starting 5-0, not tripping early. That Purdue basketball team had a couple trips. Remember, they started the season, the conference 2-0, then they lost three straight. Right. And we were like, oh, crap, what the hell's going on? And then they just were like, no problem, relax. They were a good team, right? Boom, just steamrolled out 10 wins. And they were doing stuff that we haven't seen since. Right. And it's not far-fetched to say that was a Final Four team, maybe a championship team.
Oh, that's not far-fetched at all.
Think about what you just said. That's not far-fetched at all. Okay, so that proves a couple of my points here. One, that it's a great job because it is possible. Whether it happened or not, it's possible.
Absolutely.
And number two, that I do think Painter's not an old man, but that sort of a, that close to tasting it and seeing it and knowing he's older, he's smarter, he knows how hard it is. He played there.
Glenn Robinson's team was my Final Four team because I was a freshman. So that was the team I was like – because I had been a Purdue fan my whole life, and I was like, I was ready to to go to the Final Four. So I went down there to watch them lose.
You were in freaking Tennessee
I was. So
listen, why would you – here, after, listen to us. Why would you – why do I try to convince people to be a Purdue fan? Why would I tell people
– You don't. Do you?
Oh, Anish, my God,
Anish, and we talk about this all the time with our children. We're like, he'll be wearing Purdue stuff, and we'll put a game name on it, and he'll see the P, and he'll go, yeah. He's four, and he gets all excited. And there's a little part of my heart that dies. Oh, it's like, gosh. I know I'm setting him up for misery. And I say it half joking, but sometimes I'm like, just root for Alabama. Just root for Texas. Pick a program, USC. Pick someone that's pretty good at everything. UCLA. Just
have a good time. Know. Enjoy your life.
Exactly. Exactly. Don't be like
what we've done. No, that's the thing, though. I was just talking to one of the kid from my church small group who he grew up an Illinois fan. His dad's an Illinois grad. He is a very smart kid. Graduated with a 4.1 out of HSE. And he chose to go to Purdue for engineering. And so his allegiance changed quickly. He said it was weird the first time Purdue played Illinois in football when he was a freshman. But he's a Purdue fan now. And so his sister, I was talking to her, she's a junior in high school, and Purdue played Illinois. And she said, I'm really a Purdue fan now because it's my brother, not my dad. And I go there and I'm like, okay, this is more real. You know, I don't remember my dad being in Illinois. And so I said, well, you know, the problem is you've got two programs that are hard to root for. You know,
don't go to either of them.
Exactly.
I was just going to say, going from Illinois to Purdue, goodness, that's like doubly, like, yeah. It's what we were just describing, yeah. Only now you've done it twice. Yeah. I mean, because Illinois football is that's
Illinois basketball. I'm of the opinion that the Illinois basketball team should be a fantastic job. They should own – there's nobody that owns Chicago, and yeah. They need to own Chicago, and it doesn't make sense to me. Right. But, you know, whatever. But
I've been told that the whole thing is you have to have a guy that at the program, they've never had this, really, that's a slick, slimy recruiter.
Right.
That's really the problem because there's a lot of funny money happening, you know, going to Chicago AAU, and these guys, none of these guys have been willing to play ball. And I think that's a really good potential perspective about why, you know, Illinois is not that great of a job. Because look at the guys who have had the job, you know, the last, you could only go back three, really, right, in our modern history.
I mean, Self is the one, right? I mean, Bill Self with his Darren Williams team.
And that's Weber's Final Four team, isn't it?
That's Self. Yeah.
There you go. Yeah. So, and he was. Well,
Self would play ball. Yeah. Let's be honest. Yeah,
he was slimy. So there you go. There's your answer. So. But boy, this has been fun and uplifting.
We gotta end this. We gotta have something uplift. Like we gotta have a nice topic here. Oh wow! Really?
That's tough, man.
Well, that's kind of where we're. I mean, you. Well, see, I find it interesting that you're. Maybe it's just that you're
youthful exuberance.
I'm young and
not. Right. You're not as jaded yet. But like you're sitting here saying, well, it's not a tremendous disappointment. I feel like with this level of the youth crap is no longer. It's crap. There's no. It's not an excuse in college basketball or any college sport. It's just not. Everybody's young now. It's just the way the game is played. And. This is not a super young team. I know there's a lot of play, but there's guys with experience. You got your sophomores who aren't young sophomores, given that, you know, Ronnie Johnson played 35 games last year. You know, I think
I'm not as down because I've already kind of come to grips with AJ Hammond's leaving.
Right.
And that he's, I mean, you know, as much as you want to talk about Bryson Scott or, you know, Smotherman or any of the AJ Hammond's the identity of our team right now. Whatever Bill Simmons says, the basketball team takes on the personality of his best player. AJ Hammond's our best player, and we are AJ Hammond's personality right now, and he's leaving next year. So regardless of
what are you saying? That's a good thing.
No, but regardless,
it sounds like you're saying that's a good thing, and I kind of agree.
No. But
what I'm saying is,
no, regardless of our success this year, whether we make the second round of the tournament or whatever, our identity, our fundamental identity is changing next year. So this is because AJ is leaving, I mean, this is kind of the end of a mini era. And next year is when you start building on, you know, something new.
Couldn't you argue though that the era maybe the Tyrone Johnson era?
Yeah, absolutely.
And if that's I think you got the same thing there. You have
same sort of personality. Yeah.
Well, not really, because that guy, boy, he gets angry. He gets really angry.
There were so many stories over the summer of him being this fiery locker room leader that everybody looked up to, and it's you know, it's different than DJ Bird, you know. And I liked Bird. I really liked Bird, but it's different.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, your point before about Painter being kind of not miserable, but, you know, just to kind of put it melodramatically, I think that was last year. I think this year he's having a little more fun because he has a more talented team, and now he has a little more to work with. Last year, you get these four freshmen, and yeah, you know, youth isn't an excuse, but none of these four freshmen were really expected out of high school to contribute, you know, immediately.
Right away. Yeah.
And they were expected to at Purdue because of the situation.
Sure.
So I think this year he's a little more comfortable, and then next year he will be. I mean, that's why it's really important to nail the recruiting class every single year. And that's very tiresome when you have a Final Four team. You don't want to think about that, right, like, you know, 2010, but, you know, 2009, 2010, but, you know, what happened last year is a fault of what happened back then.
That's why we're in the situation. Yeah. I totally agree. And what I will say, which I don't think you completely said this, but I think this may be what you're sort of leaning towards. I feel like it wasn't this year that I felt like it all had to come together, not all come together, but I feel like next year is much more pivotal for Painter than this year. I think people will be pissed if he doesn't make the tournament, and I think there'll be increased voices complaining, but I think next year is where it has to leap forward.
Yep.
And it needs to get back to the way it was a few years ago. Maybe not number four in the nation, but needs to be ranked. They need to show signs of the program having that kind of life, because if you have too many years of this middling sort of like, man, they look talented enough, they beat a good, you know, they kick the shit out of West Virginia, but then they, you know, then they lose to Oklahoma State, or not Oklahoma State, Washington State. Like, if you keep having middling seasons like that, all of a sudden the recruiting is going to get a lot harder, isn't it?
Yep.
I mean, you can't sell kids on – you can only sell them on the, oh, look, like what Hazel has right now. The one thing he can say is, look, you'll play. We need you. We need you right now.
Right.
You can be part of the resurgence of Purdue. You can sell kids on that more than I think any of us even realize.
Yeah.
Like, you can be part of that. And he can point to programs that have turned around and say, look at that. You can be part of that. Now, he can't do that if they have three more 1-11 seasons, but he can do it right now. And the same thing with Painter. You can say you're the next, you know, look how close we got. You know, I don't know if he uses Rob's knee as a thing, but it's like, look, we were there. We were almost there, and you can be part of that again. Okay, but if a couple more years goes, if next year was lousy and you've got potentially three tournament missing years in a row, then I think it starts to dry out.
I completely agree, and that's kind of why I'm not too – you know, emotionally dependent on this year.
But here's the thing though, if they don't make it this year, and this year is a true disappointment, now isn't there way too much pressure on next season? All of a sudden next season is just so pivotal.
It depends on the kind of disappointment this year. If we get 18 wins and we still miss the tournament,
that's
all right. You know, I mean, like, that sucks. And Painter's going to feel it, you know, on the knucklehead board and all that.
Maybe,
it's not a completely forlorn season, you know what I mean?
And maybe Purdue can do some damage in the NIT at that point. I'm not kidding around. Because look at a business model of Butler the year before. They went back-to-back NCAA finals. I believe they went to the NIT, and they played very well in the NIT.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, that's,
yeah. The interesting thing about Purdue next year is – Purdue gets very small next year.
Yeah. Well, except for Hayes.
Yeah, but Hayes is a project. I mean, if you've watched his videos, he moves a bit like Frankenstein at times. And he's playing against guys that are my height.
Is his name Hayes or Haas?
I don't know. It's probably Haas because it's the avocado brand, right? Isn't that the same spelling?
I don't know. There are like six A's in his name.
Yeah. Yeah.
I should talk. There are six A's in my name.
Grammatically,
no, I mean,
the
so,
fourth A makes it a soft A again.
And that's I think I did a breakdown earlier in the season of Simpson and kind of included this in it, saying that he is kind of the key. He's our building block these next 4 years. He's not going to leave early. He's not that kind of a college player.
Right.
He's going to be here for 4 years, and he's going to be, you know, this was before we got Haas. He's going to be our only big man. And now we have another 7-footer coming in that puts a lot of pressure off him, but he's still going to need to be a lot better than he is right now. He's kind of stagnated to regressed in the last month or so, which is kind of – that's
kinda
what's
like
worrying
what he
me
did
the most.
Last year too, isn't it? I mean, it's like he's had a repeat freshman year, because towards the end, you know, they were like blaming it on his foot and asthma because he wasn't in very good shape, right? At game 9 or 10 before they put him on the shelf.
Yeah, that's when they redshirted him, yeah.
Right, and so we're at game 15 right now, right? And he's the last three or four games been nowhere, right? I mean, like there were, I think there were one or two games where I'm like, is he hurt? Is he suspended? Because I didn't, you know, if you miss a minute of the game when he got in for like a second, you're like, okay, what happened? You know, he looks like he's still in his, you know, warm-up jacket on the bench.
So. You know, but with next year, I think that's what it is that, you know, are these six, you know, the six true freshmen from last year and this year plus, you know, plus Simpson, they have enough experience. That's a tournament team. And if that team doesn't make the tournament, and if that team even doesn't make the, you know, second round or Sweet 16 of the tournament, that's a failure. And that's where you have, that's when you have to start looking at Coach Painter. Yeah. The problem with, you know, I know you guys aren't doing this, but the problem with people calling for the job already is,
we're not doing that.
Yeah, you guys aren't doing that. But the problem with calling for the job is that, you know, what happened? I mean, we already have a set culture. Purdue right now, for even the last 15 years, you know, dating back to, you know, 12 years to dating back to when Painter came on the staff as the coach in waiting, we've kind of molded our identity after him. And when he leaves, we're not going to make the tournament right away. I mean, you know, so
sure.
I think the only time people should be, you know, concerned about that is if next year it turns out like this. If a year from now we're having the same conversation, then that's a problem.
Yeah, but I agree with everything that's said. I've never called for Painter's head. I didn't call it for the other day. I told Jay that we were linked three times in a single day for the Painter post, which I'm always happy to see. I don't care which one of the BS writers do it, you know. But there was one guy that he read a second of it and he got pissed off, clearly.
Yeah,
he was like, well, so they fire him. What's the point then? I'm like,
no, that's not.
No one said anything about it. In fact, I went twice in there said, I'm not saying to fire him. I am saying that there needs to be you need to be critical of this.
Accountability.
Yes, absolutely.
Got to be critical. And I don't know what to do. That's the problem. I think people say, well, what's being accountable get you? Well, all it gets you is you say, nobody's happy right now. You're not enjoying yourself. Well, the fans are not enjoying themselves either. Okay. And that's a problem. That's a problem. This is not a fun product to get behind. We have a couple very, very good friends of the site that give a lot of money, which I can't afford to give a lot of money. Jay can, but he just doesn't because he keeps it all for himself. He doesn't even give any to his son, which is sad. But those people that give a lot of money are frustrated. And they're like, this is a really, really hard time to be a Purdue fan. It's a hard time to be a donor because I'm thinking, what's my money going to? Because I go and I turn on, I'm like, I don't want to watch this. I don't want to watch this half of good basketball crap that we've been watching this season. You know, it's really, really hard. This is really tough. This is really trying stuff. So there's got to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I think a team that's fighting and getting better, I think everybody can get behind that. Even if they only have 7 wins, like Painter's first year, like those guys were doing everything they could. And you're like, it's not going to get worse than this. There's no talent on this roster. Where you look at this, you're like, there's tons of talent on this roster. This sucks.
Right.
There's a lot of talent, yeah.
And you know, the whole – we actually got attacked. You got into it yesterday or 2 days ago with that guy.
Yeah.
Who awesome. It shocked me the turn it took. This guy was just kind of having a little back and forth with us. And then all of a sudden, he said something that was totally false. And you said, I guess you don't read the site very much. And he's like, no, I stopped years ago because you guys –
He said, shut the up.
Yeah.
If you don't, if you're not going to be positive, shut the F up. And I was like –
Yeah, and you're not going to be negative. You guys are negative. And he treated us like we were newspaper writers. He's like, I know, you have blogs to fill. I'm like, what does that even mean?
What the hell are you saying?
Like, I was like, what are you talking about? But like – basically, it was one of those people.
We Number one, the last 3 weeks, we haven't been filling Jack.
Thanks a lot, Anish.
There's a guy who's supposed to be putting content up.
We've had guys come back to this. This used to happen in football. We had guys come back to if we're critical at all, and I mean critical now. And Anish, you know, you teach at some good schools, so you know the word critical doesn't mean hating or whatever stupid term kids want to use.
Critical
just means being. Being critical doesn't even mean negative. Critical just means you're critiquing, right? Yeah. So that's all. If you're really a fan, being critical of something is not a bad thing. In fact, if you're going to look at something for 20 years, you're probably going to have to be critical at some point. Otherwise, what are you just doing? Sitting there waving a pom-pom? I don't think what people read for. And I don't – and it's just weird that we've been criticized a number of times by really half-wit people for – for not being anything but positive. And it's like, we're actually pretty remarkably positive when you think about what we've had to watch,
right.
more around football. But the fact that we talk about it and actually say fun things and sort of look forward to it, at least for a while, I don't know. I think that's reasonably positive. But there's a group of people out there that just want rainbows and sunshine. Mm.
That's the thing I couldn't get. I mean, I just didn't understand. It was like I was talking to a teenage girl there for a minute, because he said, well, I met Painter, and he's a big Peru fan. He's all positive. And I'm like,
and he's a good guy.
He's a good guy. I'm like, shit, you know, we're good guys. I love Purdue. And I don't get paid, what, let's see. I don't get paid hardly anything, okay? Painter gets paid a lot, okay? A lot of money. And you get paid a lot of money, not because you're a good guy and you're a big Purdue fan, because there are a lot of good guys who are big Purdue fans. My dad's one of them. My dad doesn't get paid what he's worth, if that's the measuring stick. Right?
Yeah.
Painter makes a lot of money to win games. And I said, to win games within, you know, well within the rules is what Purdue fans demand, really. Okay? So do it. Just do it. You'll have everybody happy. Go win some games. Go win some games that, you know, that are big games. Make Purdue important. Simple. You know, that's all we're not saying that it's not really. I don't think we've gotten personal at all on him ever. Have we ever gotten personal on Painter?
Never. We don't get personal really on any coaches.
No.
I don't think.
No, I don't either.
And until they make it personal. Right. I think we got a little angry at Danny Hope.
After he burnt the place down, yeah. Today's Handsome Hour is sponsored by Hammered T-shirts. Hammered T-shirts. You'll find them still in the margin of the boiledsports.com website. And you, just to give you a little insider trading info, these shirts are going on sale, a New Year's sale very, very, very soon. So get your checkbooks ready. Hammered shirts. If you don't have one, you suck.
That's right. You remember the tagline. That's great. If you don't have, get hammered, by the way.
I just say hammered. I'm just, like the kids say, you just shorten it. Nish, do you have a t-shirt?
I don't have a t-shirt, no.
Send me your address. I'll get one to you. I don't know if you don't like them. Okay, if you don't. I had somebody get mad at me about the shirts, and he said, are you embarrassed to wear the shirt? I said, it's not my type of thing, honestly. I said, I've never worn things that are references to, you know, alcohol problems. but it's, you know, it's really cute. It's a cute alcohol issue.
By the way, I don't know if you know this. I don't have a t-shirt.
I know you don't. Do you want one?
Why would I bring that up if I didn't want one?
Well, guess what, buddy?
That's like
– You have never – that's like, the first time I didn't
know. That's like saying, I don't have a date to prom. Why do you want to go?
No, I don't want to go. Prom's uncool, man. Prom's for losers. Well, why don't you guys both do me a favor? Send me your preferable size, and Anish, send me your address. I do not have your address.
Send you my preferable size. 36C. Oh, for the shirt.
That's solid work right there. 36C is pretty, pretty solid stuff.
So that's good.
It's context. You know, that's the thing. That can mean a lot, really. You know? So send me, Jay, I don't know if you're an XL or we have those
Watch
two quadruple
Watch
XLs.
Watch it now.
No, but anyway, no, it's
I am, like, more than Purdue. I'm a Pacers fan. Like, I am so diehard, stupid Pacers fan. Mm-hmm. And I don't know why anybody, again, would be.
Well, but see, I hate the Pacers now. I mean, I hate the NBA. So.
Oh, I love it. I love it.
Oh, you care. You like to see them win.
I do like to see them win. But I just don't like the league. I don't like the NBA.
It's the league. That's different.
I mean, love the league. Oh my god, I love the NBA.
You love the NBA?
I love the NBA. It's why I love basketball. And
you made
I
me sad. All the good
I
things
like
you made me happy.
The best players in the world play basketball at the highest
level. They're great athletes, but they're not basketball players.
Absolutely, they're best.
They play basketball like in April to June. They don't really play right now. They play for a few minutes.
Did you see that? Like,
Blake Griffin? Yes, I saw the dunk.
Not even the dunk, but like.
That was silly.
First of all, that's not humanly possible. Like, things James and Blake Griffin do are not just.
Right. Well, one thing we've acknowledged here is that the thing, even if you don't like the NBA, going to an NBA game and sitting close, it's like going to an NFL game and sitting close. You see it differently and you realize just how unbelievably gifted these gigantic human beings are, and how fast they are, and the things that they can do. I we don't deny that that their abilities are superior. But put that beer down. So
I was putting my files. No, back. I was reading through those as we were.
No, I love it, and I mean, like the good teams. Yeah, you don't want to watch Milwaukee, but like if you watch how like San Antonio plays and just like watch off ball movement.
Yeah, they're a pretty neat team.
Incredible. Yeah. Like I mean, just stuff like well coached teams are so awesome to watch.
Right.
Well, see, around here we have the Knicks and the
That. So. Hey, I brought my guy Brad Stevens here to move with.
Yeah, he's pretty awesome. So.
He's amazing. He's amazing.
Well, if Painter doesn't get
what's their record now? Have they started showing signs? I know that every now and again they'll win, but they're really not winning all that great.
No, I think they've shown signs, and then Danny Ainge was like, "Nope, we're tanking. We need a hide. We need
Park. Nope. we're bad.
Take it easy there, Stevens. Settle down.
Whoa, there, boy genius.
Oh my God, I was in Hinkle Fieldhouse during the two championship games and the two Final Four games.
Yep.
Like it was incredible. And Brad Stevens is my favorite coach, like of basketball, but he's. Like, I don't know. I've thought about how the end of the Coach Painter era goes, and it's hard to see it. Well, no, but it's hard to see any separation other than, you know, he like Gene Cady, the greatest, you know, coach to never make the Final Four, or he gets fired, like, I don't know, like, you know, I mean, just after a couple of years of sucking, he fires. And it's I don't know how else it ends, like because he's such a you know he's a Purdue guy, right?
Right.
So I don't know. Okay, hey, right before we go, I'm sorry, I have more time. What are the Coach Painter rumors? Other than the cheerleader thing, the only rumor?
Yeah, that's the only one that I've heard. And there's you know that's obviously the kernel of that is that he cheated on his wife and then he had to get divorced, but. That's it. But he wrecked something, and I can tell you this much. Good friend of my parents is named Kate Painter. She is Matt's aunt. And what they said to my parents just like months ago, they said, well, we're not real happy with what happened to him, but he's still our nephew, and we still support him. That's all they told my dad. My dad said, what do you know about this? I said, I can tell you that the rumors are ridiculous, but that's all I know. And I haven't had any corroboration of those rumors. No good source can tell me that you know, there's anything that I don't think there was a cheerleader. Maybe she was an ex-cheerleader. I could see that, you know, like, you know, just a, you know, 20-something, you know, who knows? I mean, I don't know why a 20-something ex-cheerleader would, you know, choose to be with that guy.
What, a rich, powerful guy? Why does that ever happen?
Yeah, I guess that's true. He's not a handsome man. He's not a...
He's okay. He's not Gene Cady.
He's a rich, powerful, charismatic. I mean, he can sell the Purdue team.
Yeah.
He's
a smart guy. I've always said he's very, very smart.
Because sometimes we have these conversations offline. We're like, do you see some of the women that are following us?
Yeah, mercy. They're awesome, yeah.
Mercy. Yeah. You know, when we used to remember when Kelly told us, wasn't Kelly one of the ones that was in a sorority?
Yeah.
And said that. Said that, you know,
they used to gather around. She
got mentioned on the Handsome Hour, and one of her sorority sisters was running down the hallway to talk to her about it. I was like, come on. Yeah. Come on. This is being played in a sorority house? Yeah.
Seriously, the best news I've ever had in my life, and I've had two kids. And...
That was it. That was the closest I've ever been to being in a sorority house. Right? I voice made it.
All right.
I had a study partner that was into it, and I wasn't too impressed. You know, she was really good looking, but, man, the girls in there were not. Not what I thought they'd be. That's kind of an uppity place. I thought there'd be some hotties in that house. Nope. Let's think. Want to each get like a 1-minute synopsis? You guys want to do that? So you have a close. You want to do that?
Sure. What's the topic?
I would say probably just fashion tips mostly.
Well, I'll go ahead and say that we appreciate. Swami joining us for an extended period of time tonight. It's been fun. It's been good to have you on. We're thrilled that you're writing for the site and that you've been well received. I think that's got to feel good for you too. Is that the reception was very positive from the very start? I don't know if you noticed some of the comments were. Usually people start off and there's always somebody bitching, right? Because there's always someone bitching about everything, right? No matter how good or bad. And your commentary, the comments you got were. I think the dumb people that would bitch. Couldn't make it through your content, so they were like, something shiny. Let me get away from
which
here.
Is fine.
And right, it's good. It's what you want, right? You want to scare. You want to get rid of the dumb ones. And then the people who read it were commenting and saying things like, you just made this site even more awesome, which is their way of saying you made it finally.
Yeah, exactly.
So we do appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
So
Thank you for the kind words.
We appreciate what you're doing. And I mean, the big thing at the end of the day, Jay and I, we've had one goal really since we started the site. It's world domination. And we're one step closer to that thanks to you.
However small of a step, I'm glad.
Right.
But at this
pace, though, in about 3,000 years, we will be emperors of the world.
Matt Painter's got to be fired by then, right?
Just for the record again, I never said the word fired, and I know someone who's listening to that is going to come and get mad at me because I said I wanted him fired, and I said he's a horrible human being, and whatever the hell they want to hear from me.
Sleeps with cheerleaders.
Exactly. There we go.
I love him. But yeah, no, thank you very much. I'm glad that I was going to do this anyway for as long as until I got bored. And then you guys asked me to come on, and now I have a reason to keep going. So it's very nice. I appreciate it. I love doing it. This is the kind of stuff that a lot of, like I said, I love the NBA, and a lot of stuff like this is done at the NBA level. But nobody really does this at the college level, and
the analysis.
And the kind of play by play, you're like, you know, compiling certain, you know, same plays or same runs or whatever. And it's a really big market that no one's really, like, you know, nobody's really done, at least in the Purdue space or the Big Ten space. There hasn't been too many.
Yeah. The thing that we say, Jay and I have said, you know, like, you're always taught in, you know, economics to invest in things that are going to grow. And the problem is, since we've invested, our thing that we've been feeding has just been a big vacuum cleaner, just sucking the life out of us, you know. So we figure if we can stick through this long doldrum we've been in, you know, this last couple of years, you know, it's got to turn around eventually. And when that happens, we'll be in the right position, and we can say, you know, we lasted through the crap. So
absolutely. Well, thank you for giving me the platform. I appreciate it, guys.
Good. Well, I'm glad you're helping, and I think that one thing we can all agree on is that the basketball season ahead of us is an uphill climb, but I believe I'm going to be at the game on Sunday. I'm just trying to figure out a childcare situation, but I'm excited. I'm still excited. Whether or not I'll be excited by halftime, you know, Sunday's game is the question. Is it me? Has there been a ton of gaps in this season? I mean, it just seems like they've had like five or 6 weeks off.
I just put all the games in my calendar. This next month is crazy. Like a game every 3 days.
Right.
Meanwhile, right now and up to Saturday, they'll have played one game since December 31st.
Right. Yeah. Right.
But you know, Nebraska, I think you'll be happy. I think you'll be happy, Dowd.
Okay.
Oh, by the way, yeah, you know, not to restart the podcast, but you mentioned earlier you were talking about, you know, the wins they have to get to have a shot, and then they got to steal some. You were talking about Nebraska. You got to win both Nebraska games. I'm more than a bit concerned about going to Nebraska and winning. I hate to say that, but I don't think they're a pushover as bad as they've been. I think what's his face? Totally blanking on his name right now.
The coach. He's a good coach.
Yeah, I think he's got them heading in the right direction. And he should disagree.
Well, the problem is they don't have, you know, they don't have a gigantic
Tim Miles.
Yeah, Tim Miles. They don't have a 400-pound South American.
Oh, I have a computer. I can look up coach's name.
They don't have a 400-pound South American, though, to hold the team together. And so that's where they're going to fall short.
Amateurs.
Purdue needs a 400-pound South American.
No, I think we got Nebraska. I think if we can't beat Nebraska, Penn State, and Northwestern.
Manish, have you not been watching? They have trouble at Penn State every year.
They do.
Yeah, I know.
They have trouble with Penn State with Juwan Johnson. Exactly. With Pummel, Johnson, and Moore, they had a hard time with Penn State.
And I also say we didn't really get into this earlier, but one of the things that, and you criticized this in your big Matt Painter takedown where you demanded that he be fired.
Yeah, exactly.
you pointed out that they don't win games on the road anymore. Yeah. I mean, they won at West Virginia. That was very important, yeah. I think. More than we probably said. I mean, they had to win that game.
Yeah.
And
I was kind of giddy after that. I don't remember that.
Yes,
I got people getting mad at me.
Beating Huggins is enjoyable every time.
I think bottom line is if we can't beat Nebraska, Northwestern, and Penn State twice, we're not a tournament team. And that's what it is, right?
Oh, absolutely.
So, and then we have to steal, you know, two of Illinois, Minnesota, Michigan, Indiana. And
so you're not in the group of people, I'm sure you've seen them, that just say the tournament talk has to stop. Because there are a lot of people who are like, just stop dreaming about the tournament. It's just, it's a pipe.
No, we have a legitimate. I mean, it's only 15 games into the season. I mean, you know, and we're still 10-5. We have 10 wins already. So it's not like we're out of, you know, Nebraska's out of contention at 8 wins. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But like, we're not, you know, Indiana has as many wins as we do, and they're in the exact same position as we are.
You know, there's one. I'm going to give you a criticism right now, Anish, and I don't mean to do this. You know, so new in the organization,
he's so new in the organization,
in the family,
in the outfit.
I like that even better. But there's something that's a huge pet peeve of mine, and you've been riding it like Jay rides the white stallion. Wait, what? Like Jay, I'm not going to say it. No good. You've been using it a lot, and that is the we and us stuff.
I don't use that in my posts. I know.
Yeah, I'm glad you don't use it in your posts. Yeah. It's such a pet peeve of mine. I mean, you're not bad about it, but I've gotten on Travis for it, and I have to be even handed because I've got to be fair. That's the way I am. I'm a jerk to everybody.
When I start talking about with other Purdue fans, I definitely say we a lot more. I've made it a point to try and control F for we's and us's and that.
Well, he was there more recently too. He's not.
That's the good question. Is if you're a current student, can you say we?
I think it's more acceptable because you actually that's the difference, and I try to explain it to people. Aren't college sports fans or didn't go to a school where they can kind of watch them on television. I'm like, you know, the reason people are so loyal is they actually went there. They are a Boilermaker. Right. Like, and I think and that also is what separates you from SEC fans.
None of them went to high school.
I told you, I did text you, right? The friend of mine from Texas. Okay. And so I got a friend, he's actually a pretty good guy, but he's completely disillusioned, clueless SEC fan. He's from Tennessee.
This is ridiculous.
He's from Nashville.
This is crazy.
He went to Vandy, which is in Nashville, but he's a Tennessee fan.
Like UT?
Yeah. Well, he's our age, so they were good back in the early fall.
Yeah,
right?
But
and 98 they won a national title.
He went through 4 years of school and he didn't lose that childhood crush on Tennessee?
Because he went to Vandy. If he'd gone to Alabama, he would have lost it. But he went to Vandy, who sucked.
Yeah, but their rival is Tennessee.
Exactly. They can't do that. Can't.
So he would always be like, one time we were out on the golf course and he's got all this Tennessee crap on his golf stuff and some guy walks up with the Tennessee
guy. Did I play golf with him?
No.
Okay, you talked about him when we were on the course, right?
Yeah, you did not meet him when you were there. He had Tennessee stuff on and he saw this other guy and he's like, oh, UT. And the guy goes, oh, what year did you graduate? And he's like, oh, I actually went to Vandy. It's like, yeah, doesn't that ruin the whole thing for all those weird SEC people when it's like, oh, when did you go? Oh, I didn't go. Oh, then what are you talking about? So anyway, he had something up. He was posting on Facebook on the national title night. And after the game, he wrote something like, typical sour grapes, kind of like, just don't say anything. But he's like, I guess the SEC haters are going to enjoy tonight. He's like, well, enjoy it while it lasts. You know, it'll be short-lived. And what I commented on, I said, I feel the exact same way about the NFC East. We'll
That's
be back.
Awesome. I love that.
And he said nothing, of course, because he probably didn't get it. But
it doesn't make sense.
It makes as much sense as what I just said. It makes as much sense as if I had said, well, the Red Sox won the World Series, so AL East.
Boiler up, fellas.
Hammer down.
That's so stupid.
Oh, dude, listen. So you don't like Hammer Down. I don't like Boiler Up. See, that's another thing. We've got a problem here.
Hammer Down if you
so much better.
I guess I understand it.
It's
like,
so much
now
better.
I
Boiler
understand.
Up is Arnett
What's
Tiller's
dumb about it?
Derivative.
What's dumb about Hammer Down?
Yeah, what do you like about Hammer Down?
It's so.
Why do you hate America?
Forced.
Because you don't have a car. You
so
put the hammer down.
Forced.
It means you're.
Like you weren't you weren't in the student section where like. Oh my God! It was so.
Pulling that out now, is he?
It was so.
We were in the student
good.
Section.
When you were there, they didn't have electricity, old man.
I had to walk uphill both ways.
Exactly. I had to go to games where there were 12 fans.
Well, my older brother, so we both hate Boiler Up. We hate Boiler Up because it's derivative of Wyoming. We're like, seriously, that's what you're going to do? You're going to make your big freaking cheer off of Wyoming?
Okay. Well, when we brought that up, though, people were on the site.
Oh, yeah, people get so angry about it.
Like, no.
Nobody freaking knows Wyoming, so, like, yeah, I might as well steal it from them, right?
Now that's like everything Purdue has.
Exactly.
It's some sort of backhanded slam, you know, that just the fact Boilermaker is a put-down. But the No, so my brother has a good idea, I think, and I think it's something I was going to do a mock-up of it. What if and you obviously will be on board because you love Hammer Down, but what if you had on the field, you know, like Arizona has Bear Down? What if you had Hammer Down in the 20?
If we really embrace Hammer Down and get rid of Boiler Up, like it, yes. Boiler Up, Hammer Down is stupid.
Oh, it is stupid. I agree. I've been trying. I mean, I've been saying it. I try to when people say Boiler Up to me, like, you know, if you're not in Indiana, and I'm sure it happens to you once every maybe month and a half, 2 months. You'll see them with a Purdue hat or something. Yeah. You know, what do you say to that person? I always say go Boilers. Or I did.
So I say go Purdue or go Boilers.
Boiler Up.
See, boy, I can't do that. I can't.
It's a generational difference.
Can't embrace
it. It looks so cool, like the hand thing, like the whatever, the horn, whatever, pulling the horn thing. Yeah. That looks boiler so up, cool in Mackie. But yeah, no, like the words are pretty dumb. Yeah.
Well, I'd be okay if you could put something on the field. Put Hail Purdue on the field.
Hail Purdue.
Hail Purdue is unique and it's awesome. And
but Alan thinks you put Hammer Down on the field on both sides of the 20 and put it on the court on Mackey because Mackey's pretty barren, really. I'm like, I think it's cool. And then he said another idea of like a marketing thing. He said, stop calling the red zone, call it the gold zone or something. When teams get in the gold zone, I was like, that's easy, but you wouldn't do anything other than that's a culture thing, you know.
Yeah, and Purdue's never there.
Is the gold zone anything on the other side of the 45? Let's play.
They went a couple of games without even getting in there. Remember that? Oh, good times.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Oh, good times. Well,
the 1-2-3-4 first down chant is an antique. It needs to be dropped because that's it. I mean,
bitch.
Exactly. Bitch. You probably started that, didn't you, Anish?
Yeah,
you
for sure. I enjoyed the bitch. Like, we pushed the bitch hard.
We pushed that bitch hard.
We wrote something about that a few years ago and got eviscerated for it.
You guys didn't like it, right? Nobody likes it. It's not classy at all.
It's classless.
Not classy at all.
It's unnecessary.
I'm kind of inconsistent. I love IU sucks. The students saying IU sucks. I love it. I don't say it. I love hearing the students say it because it pisses off IU. That's the only reason.
Yeah, I mean, I can get behind that because it's not just cursing to be gratuitously. You're doing it because you hate someone.
Right.
And I think
the dance is cool. I mean, like any choreographed dance that people just drop and like the people who've never been in the stadium before just are looking at you like,
oh, and they're doing the hellfire thing.
Yeah, the hellfire chant.
It looks pretty neat.
It's cool. Like it's fun to do that. But the first down pitch is completely unnecessary.
But you know, that all comes from people being bored, not having anything good to cheer about.
Well, and once they knew it was making people angry, they just wore.
And they were trying to drown us out using the horn.
Oh, it was great.
And then we just delay it.
Kept trying to change it.
Right.
Bitch. These students are freaking clever as hell. It doesn't matter.
Absolutely.
Always clever. So they're going to get.
Well, and there's no, you know, as far as traditions go, there's nothing better than a shout. That's one of Ryan's favorites.
I hate it. So
I mixed. Feel like it's fun to do it when you're drunk.
Well, I'm really right bad with you. It's like
the way they do it at Michigan State during timeouts in the 10-minute mark or 12-minute mark in basketball. They do shout.
Oh, really?
Yes, I just saw it the other night. I was like, screw you guys! That you steal that piece of crap.
Well, I was gonna, when Anish was going where he said, well, it can be. I think what you were getting at is the concept is kind of fun. Yeah. It's the execution. They shouldn't be shout. We've talked about this before.
I've given lists.
Yeah, you want to get them behind something like the way Wisconsin does.
Make it something that's
fantastic.
How about this? How about this one? Here, seriously. How about during basketball? This one came to mind. Why wouldn't you do the song Slam by Onyx? That song is badass.
These old people will not like it.
Dude, that'd be so good.
Gosh. Well, we were okay with it being a cornball when we said they should do the Quad City DJs.
Yeah.
Come on, ride the train. Yeah. You want to do something and you know, Purdue, like Doofy, make it that. Don't make it shout.
At least that one that's completely Purdue. I mean, ride the train.
Right, at least that one has a train.
Yeah, shout doesn't have a train in it. That's what,
Doesn't make any sense. It's from the friggin' 60s. Yeah.
Keeps people like my mom happy. Which is
the old white people. Yeah, exactly.
Like, that's where the money is.
Not my mom. Right.
Yeah. Well, you said earlier that I don't donate. I don't donate to the athletic department. I donate to the school, though.
Good.
Because I have a hard time. I have a hard time giving money to athletics, even though I write about it.
Yeah, I think it's.
I'd much rather the university get my money than that.
I give my money to my school, like the biomedical engineering. I don't give it to the athletic.
Right, I give it to the liberal arts department.
There you go.
I actually give my money to biomedical engineering too.
There you go.
No, I don't. That's a lot.
We only have, what, 18 Big Ten varsity teams? Is that right?
Fewest in the Big Ten.
Yeah, but like by far, isn't it? Or no, maybe Northwestern.
Northwestern is just the same. Yeah.
I don't know. I thought I did like a championships per varsity team, like just divided up, and we still suck.
Oh, yeah.
We're still
horrible.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
I don't know.
It's because you guys don't give money to the athletic department.
Yeah, right.
So this is.
I gave, by the way, just for the record, I gave money after they re-signed Painter, and that's the list. That's it, though.
After they re-signed Painter,
and it's paid off. By the way, it's my investment paid off.
Clearly, you helped pay for it. Yeah. Well, I gotta ask Ganesh, even though we should be wrapping this up, I gotta ask him a question that we put on the, which maybe you saw us put on the site years ago. I know the answer to this because you're a basketball guy, but we put up there, what would you pick? National title in football or national title in basketball?
Basketball. Oh my God, I would.
But because you're a basketball.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
What do you think's better for the university? Football. Probably football, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Football. Football brings the money. Football exists, or basketball exists because football exists.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And if they won a national title in football, it would help every program.
Yes.
So.
But it doesn't, like, my argument is that it, like, financially, there's no question, but it, like, a national title in basketball, like a March Madness run, just feels magical, as stupid as that sounds. Like, the Butler run just felt weird, like crazy, and people remember it, even though they weren't, and then they did it
the next year.
I mean, and even they weren't the best team in their conference or anything like that, but I don't know.
They were a flipping 8 seed the second year.
That's right. My old roommate at when I was at Purdue still can't forgive that year, that, like, still hates Juwan Johnson because of how he checked out during the VCU.
Oh, he
game.
Totally was disinterested.
Like, we were the people that, you know, like, parked our asses on, like, right outside of Mackey for, like, 12 hours or, like, 18 hours just to camp for a game. Yeah. And he still, like, to this day, just because of that VCU game, now completely turned on Juwan.
That team was – that was kind of supposed to be the year, wasn't it? I mean, I
thought the year before was the year. But, yeah, that was
right.
I don't know.
Right. That's right. That was the VCU year was his actual senior year.
Yes. Well, but the point here, you said Simmons or whoever says, you know, a team takes on the identity of its best player, you know, that more than, you know, leadership or whatever. That's a great example of a team just completely mailing it in. The whole team was in a malaise at the end of the season because JJ was disinterested. Jay had better things to do.
There was that, like, within a week – we had, I don't remember who wrote this, like, whether it was you or Travis or whatever, but, like, it was, like, within a week we beat Michigan State and we beat Wisconsin, and somebody wrote, like, you want three
top 10 teams in a what, 10-day period?
And you don't want that to be the peak of our season.
Right, that was probably
us. I was gonna, it sounds like something that you guys wrote, but, like,
yeah, I think I wrote that.
That sticks in my mind so much because it was the peak. That was it. That was the peak of that team.
Yeah.
And
well, it's like the year before when if Rob doesn't get hurt, they had won 10 games in a row. You want your 10-game win streak to happen a little bit later.
Yeah.
You know, honestly, how many streaks like that are you gonna have in a season?
Yeah.
So you need a 6-game.
I don't know how you time that. That's the thing. It's so hard.
Of course not.
Because Katie was brilliant in February, too. Katie had owned February. His teams were so damn good when it didn't count. so good at getting the Big Ten title and just sucking ass.
You know what? I'm actually okay. Like, if he never made the Final Four and sucked in the Big Ten, it would be bad. But we still have more title, Big Ten titles than Bobby Knight, and we still have one game on the, you know, between Katie and Knight, like, we still have one game on that series, so, you know, we were still the best team in the Big Ten for an extended period of time.
Yeah, a friend of mine, the 2-5 Apparel on Twitter, he has this question. Did you ever see that question that I put on the site? I think it was probably right before you came on.
I don't know.
And it's called The Question. He calls it The Question. It's this debate. He's asked, like, Brian Cardinal. He's asked Matt Painter. He's asked Morgan Burke. And he and his friends have been discussing it forever. I think it's the easiest question ever, but I think you'll say the same thing. The question is, would you rather have Purdue win a national title and then lose every game for the next 10 years, or go to the final game and lose for 10 straight years? The
final game.
Oh, that's a minus, no question.
Yeah.
You know, easy decision for me.
I'd go final game, yeah.
Because think about, like, Kansas when Roy Williams was there. That's the closest thing you can come up with, really. is a team that just could not get over the hump.
But consistently awesome.
Oh, yeah. And I have friends who are Kansas grads, and they just absolutely love Kansas basketball because of that period of time. They were at school during that period of time. Then they were, you know, we worked together when Kansas was still just kind of dying. I mean, the year that Williams cried in the Final Four, and then he went to North Carolina afterwards. I mean, you're like, what are they going to get over the hump? Are they going to get over the hump? You know,
Teams like Memphis. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no doubt. The 10 years. You remember Memphis, like the Calipari, Derrick Rose, no SATs. Yeah. Memphis. Nobody remembers that team other than, you know, the fact that they had Derrick Rose. Mm-hmm. But, like, no, everybody forgets about that team. No, I, 100%, I'd take the 10 years of whatever.
See, this is my buddy. He's like, well, he goes, but all IU fans talk about is the national title. I said, and you know what's going to happen? Purdue gets one national title. Then I'll say, got four more to catch us. That's what would be the mantra, you know?
Yeah, but they definitely would because they're just douches. Yeah, but you'd have one that's current, and they'd have a 30-year-old.
Right.
And a Sweet 16 banner, don't forget.
Right.
Yeah, that's true. And a trophy case. Yeah. And rings, I believe.
Rings, yes. Whole thing.
Rob Hummel retweeted that, and he thought that was hilarious. Like, I've never seen a Purdue player make fun of, like, the institution of IU until awesome. Rob was just like, this is ridiculous. What are you doing?
I think everybody has made fun of Crean for that, you know. So,
he's a great recruiter.
Great. Amazing recruiter. It's probably half of the job.
Yeah, it's half the job.
But he'll be gone from there in definitely less than 5 years.
You think so?
Probably. Oh yeah.
I think
you don't think it's already turning?
No, I think he'll recruit well enough that no one will care. He'll get to enough sweet.
He has lost a little bit of his magic dust though, because I mean the two great classes that he had in a row, they were really all verbaled out by the time they were sophomores.
Don't say this because you know where this is going. You know where this is going. And it's going because in 5 years, both the Celtics will suck and IU will suck.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We know that.
Yeah, we fear that.
And
yes,
that's the nightmare scenario for me. Because I love
Brad. Because if he goes there, and if he goes there, they will win national title after that.
Oh, yeah, they will. And then you've got Branch McCracken, Bob Knight, and him. You've got a damn...
That's the darkest timeline. That's the darkest timeline.
Yeah, agreed.
All Butler and Purdue basketball fans die, and I have to be one of both.
Yeah. But you're one of the few people that's not a Butler/IU basketball fan. There are so many of them.
I'm a Butler fan because we got free tickets in 1999.
Oh, I know. But that's the thing. You're a weird hybrid. It's a legit hybrid. You know, you have a good connection. I should be that hybrid, but I can't do it. I can't get on both.
His brother went there.
Yeah, my brother and my sister-in-law both graduated from Butler. Nice. My grandpa, he has two scholarships named after him there and has a doctorate from Butler. My other grandfather played golf at Notre Dame. I hate Notre Dame.
Yeah, I hate – yeah, no. All of the feelings of, like, you know, neutrality with IU I feel now, no, that all shifted to Notre Dame. My girlfriend's from Notre Dame area, so maybe that's why.
The region. But, no, that's going to happen. He'll be IU's coach. And...
Come on. Don't say it like it's, like, foregone.
It's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Well,
here's what's going to happen. Here,
God hates Purdue. That's what it is. That's
God
what it
me.
Is.
It's my fault. He loves everyone around me, but he doesn't like me. So the here's the scenario, okay? Matt Painter next year will get Purdue into the tournament, and they'll lose in the round of 32, okay? The year after that, they're going to get to the Sweet 16, and that's the cap, okay? And then we're going to see the cycle continue where Purdue goes to the tournament most years, makes it to the round of 32 or 16, maybe sneaks in a Elite Eight, okay? As that time, Painter's just kind of getting along, doing okay, you know, not bad, not great, you know. Then that's when Crean gets fired, because it's going to be, by the way, it'll be a colossal Hindenburg-type thing where he does something so stupid and so emotional, and it shows how much of a fraud he's been forever. That's what's going to happen. He'll recruit a guy, and there'll be pictures of him somewhere, either that guy
so
or
creepy.
In the family. He's very creepy, very creepy. So that's what's going to happen, and then – Stevens will come in after IU's darkest, lowest moment and take him to the Final Four the next year with Crean's guy.
And I'll hate everything. I won't watch basketball anymore.
Maybe not even take him to the Final Four. He'll take him. They'll win a championship his first year there, and they'll say, Brad Stevens finally completed what he started 10 years ago at Butler. And then he'll just, boom, game momentum. He'll retire from IU at age.
He grew up an IU fan.
Oh yeah, age 70. But he wants that job. He'll just sit on a big throne made of cash that the Celtics made him while he's at IU. And they'll, you know what the, you know what else? It times out really well. Is he will open the next IU basketball arena because there's the cries are getting louder and louder for that arena to be gone. And so that'll be.
I've actually never been to Assembly Hall.
It's a horrible, horrible place to watch a game, but it's unique. You know, it's different. And the reason they had a president of the university didn't want a basketball arena in the round, probably because they just didn't want it to look like Mackey, but they wanted it to be more have better sound carrying or something for concerts. And they did that, but you can't see in many seats in that
terrible
place.
Angles.
Yeah. Down low, they're great seats. You know, if you get in the first two levels, they're awesome. That next level, just horrible.
I mean, yeah, how much you have to shell out. If there's anything IU basketball fans are, it's, you know, it's loyal, right? I mean,
oh, yeah.
Like, I don't want to pay money to go sit down there. You know what I've noticed is that after I've graduated, I really don't care about Indiana anymore. Like, I don't hate them. I really am so apathetic towards Indiana.
That's good. That's healthy.
Yeah.
I mean, that's better than I hope you hate them on February 15th.
Yeah, no, like when we play, I have enough IU yet. Fans.
Does Purdue beat IU? You didn't mention them.
You said that's kind of one of the ones they have to maybe steal that out of. Like that's one of them.
We won't be favored. I think but we're playing at home, so yeah. I think that gives us.
I like that.
I think that gives us a shot. That Noah Vonleh kid though is amazing. I love watching him.
And that's the good thing is he's gone after this year. And they've got one guy in the next class that's decent, right? But that's it, really. That class it sucks, doesn't it?
I don't know. I haven't really kept up until they
started. Yeah,
that's
true. Oh, no, they got James Blackman. I forgot. James Blackman.
That's it, one guy. That's it,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, five-star guy. Yeah, they have a four-star, but he isn't really Robert Johnson, like the blues guitarist.
Right.
It's really just James Blackman, right. Who decommitted from IU and then recommitted.
That was the weirdest thing ever.
Yeah, that's so weird.
Well,
but yeah, no, I think I'll be positive. Yeah, sure, we beat IU.
Okay, good. There you go. If they beat IU, seriously, I think a lot of Purdue fans give Painter a get out of free card or jail card, right? I mean,
oh hell yeah.
Yeah.
Especially the older people, they don't care at all. They just want to see IU lose.
And if he continues, here's the other thing I'll throw at you that this would make the season a lot of fun if that happens. And if they really need you said earlier they need a win of quality, like equivalent, you know, to balance the Wazoo loss. They play the second last game of the year. They play at Wisconsin on one of those 9 o'clock Tuesday night ESPN games. You know how we talked about that Michigan State Ohio State game was great and how I said I wish Purdue played in games like that. There's the chance right there. National TV 9 o'clock game at Wisconsin where Painter has strangely owned them.
He owns them.
Can you imagine
nobody in America owns Bo Ryan?
Nobody's won there more than him.
No,
against Bo Ryan.
Yeah,
he's won there three times, yeah. I believe.
Listen, I want Purdue to become Wisconsin basketball. Like I want like Matt Painter to become like a gremlin and just churn out wins out of nothing. I don't care if we play ugly and the scores are like 44-43. Right. I want to be Wisconsin.
Well, I want Purdue to be Wisconsin in basketball. I want Purdue to be Michigan State in football.
And
I want somehow D'Antonio to be on Hazel's staff so Justin can make inappropriate comments about both of those coaches all the time.
Oh, man, I don't know.
He's in love with both of those guys.
You'll back me up. I've been in love with D'Antonio before it was cool. I've loved that guy since he first got there. I've just been like, that is what Purdue needs. Yeah. That is what they need. It's exactly what Michigan State needed. I did love all the banter on Twitter. They started kind of building towards the end of that national title game, and it was just talking about, you know, like Michigan State. Somebody put up one that said something like, I bet there's some people in East Lansing who don't think that the computers, quote, got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's a great point. Like, these people who are like, well, it worked again. It's like, did it?
No, it didn't.
Did it?
Whenever you have four or five teams with one loss or however, I don't know how many ended.
And one is as dominant as Michigan State.
Yeah, yeah.
Who beat Ohio State and Stanford to end their season. Holy hell.
Yeah, those are monsters.
I mean,
and those are such different teams because Ohio State's running the spread and Stanford's mashing things down your throat, you know.
Weren't they losing both games though too? I mean, they I don't know that team.
Gritty.
Thanks a lot, Notre Dame, for effing that up.
But everybody out there, you've been listening to the Boiled Sports podcast called The Handsome Hour.
BS all the time.